The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to revisiting the classic 90s series, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Doing good. I didn't sleep well the other night, and I woke up this morning and actually felt like I wasn't a zombie for a bit. Like, yesterday, I was in a fog all day. Yeah, my brain just refused to work. But hey, you know what? Today it feels better. Today it feels good.
You're back up and running, and that's what we like to see, man. I'm here for it. I'm glad that we got you here on Flash TV Talk and to talk about a great episode of that classic 90s series, The Flash. It's going to be a fun one. A lot of big reveals-ish, almost, maybe. Speculation for the first time, I think, ever. So that'll be fun. And yeah, before we dive into it, I just want to address something that I address from time to time since we've been doing this retrospective series. And that is the fact that once again, we have another release date, premiere date for The Flash season 7, and we're not going to talk about it because we didn't talk about the last time we had a date, and we didn't talk about the time before that when we had a date. So, you know, shouts out to everybody who's like keeping up with that. But once we know for sure, then we will know for sure. And trust me, nobody knows for sure. So if this one's right, great. If not, we told you so again. Again, we told you so again. But point is, when we know for sure, that's when we'll address it. So I just want to address the fact that we're not addressing it so that nobody sends in any angry emails saying like, there's a new release date. Like, yeah. And there might still be another new release date. Let's not.
Yeah. Until said release date has come and gone and the episode has aired, I will not proclaim to know anything about when the show is coming back.
Exactly. We will. I mean, to some extent, it really will be that, right? Like, we'll be sitting there and like 5 minutes after it starts playing, then we'll be like, okay, this was the release day.
No. Until I see the credits.
Oh, you got to see the credits.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? What if like some global emergency happens and like they cut the feed and they're like, oh, attention, there's an asteroid headed towards Earth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sure, absolutely. I think that's why.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I think you're 100% correct on that. So, fair enough. We will take the Bell method. We might not take the full Bell method, but one way or the other, I did want to just address. Yes, you can do a Google search if you wanted to find out the new date. That's fine. In fact, who knows? Maybe you're listening to this episode in the future, and it's a new date that we're not even currently referring to. And that's,
maybe it's like four more dates in the future.
It could be. But then, man, we're going to go back to the past this week as we revisit this episode. You ready to jump into it?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Let's get into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 8 of Season 1, The Shroud of Death. Directed by Mario Azzopardi and written by
Jesse Sanchez.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Tina gets a job offer that would send her to California. An assassin sends the judge a piece of a medallion before killing him. Later, after a former DA is killed shortly after receiving another piece of the medallion, Barry finds a connection. The assassin targets Garfield, who is the arresting officer on the case, but shoots his fiancée after the Flash intervenes. Garfield takes the attempt on his fiancée's life personally, and the Flash must stop him before he crosses the line.
Dun dun dun!
That one's a little bit more dun dun dunny.
Yeah. I mean, we got there. We got there. It's a tricky thing, man. We're trying to apply like, you know, a classic Flash TV Talk to a classic series, and it doesn't always mix well. But we're getting there. We're finding it. We'll figure it out by the end.
Yeah. Only 8 episodes in.
Exactly. Bell, when we get started here, there's just something I need to say, and it's a personal request, if I may.
Yeah.
Just call me Angel of the Morning Angel. Just touch my cheek before you leave, baby. Just call me Angel of the Morning Angel. This is slowly turn away.
I think it's a different angel.
You know what?
Definitely not the morning angel. More no. like the angel of death.
But like when someone dies, you're in mourning. Somebody call me Ralph because that was a stretch.
And I walked right into it.
Yeah, man. Okay, this was a fun episode. There's a lot that ended up happening with a lot of different character dynamics. And if I'm being totally honest, I want to address probably the biggest question that I have at the end of this episode, because Belle, we had drama, we had murder, we had suspense, we had reveals, speculation, we had love on the brink, we had so many things going on. So here's my question. At the finale, at the very tail end, when marriage is happening and everyone is present, where is Sabrina?
She doesn't like weddings, man. It's just not her vibe.
I mean, like, no, with the way that, like, her and Julio have been going, you know, hot and heavy, I thought for sure she would be at the wedding. Did Julio not invite her to the wedding?
We've only seen her once, right?
I feel like twice, but maybe it is once.
Maybe.
We have heard her name 1,000 times, Belle.
We've heard her name 1,000 times.
She is the reason why Julio is not present more often than not. I want to know, where was she at the wedding?
Maybe it was just cops only.
I don't buy it. I'm pretty sure that no Tina was there, so no, that's not right.
No, but Tina, it was cops and personal friends of Garfield. No, all Tina, right. Tina eats at Garfield's wife's healthy food place, and so
they're dear friends.
I don't know.
Known each other since high school, of course.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, they go out, they play golf together. Like, Tina plays golf with Garfield all the time.
Oh, she does do that. All right, no, yeah. I'm moderately kidding, man. There's actually a lot to go on. Let's actually start off with Julio, because I really did find the what I thought was going to be the big moment of Julio discovering Barry's secret. I thought that was going to be kind of like where this episode landed at the very tail end.
Yeah, it felt like it. It really, really did. And I hope they're not just gonna like ignore it now, because like, oh no, I've seen Barry in the Flash at the same place at the same time, so they can't be the same.
I walked away from that thinking that like Julio is very much like not convinced.
I hope so, because it would be a shame if they don't allow, you know, I don't know. I guess it's because I'm so used to, you know, the new Flash series, and I'm so used to a team Flash that it's weird for there really. I mean, there's really not like Tina, I guess, is on team Flash, kind of, sort of, but it's mainly just the Flash. It's not team Flash. It's not, you know, anything else. And so it I don't know. It might be interesting. It might be more familiar for certain. To have more of a team dynamic on the show. And so, yes, I was excited when I thought that, like you said, like this was going to be the episode where Julio finally figures it out. And we leave with that kind of cliffhanger where he's like, I know. And, you know, then they have to have the talk next episode about, okay, you know, you can't tell anyone. He's like, I know, but I'm going to help you because I want to help or something.
I mean, I think I get the impression that we're heading there at some point. But I don't know. Maybe that's just wishful thinking.
I mean, we have to be.
I would think so. I felt like it was about time. Like, this seems about right. And I know that this is kind of like a, you know, it is a trope in superhero television. I feel like that. I feel like the Flash and Arrow kind of like maybe twisted that a little bit to the point where now the expectation is that everybody knows, like, or at least the primary cast is supposed to know, you know, the secret identity. Like, I mean, like, you know, I mean, I give credit from a television standpoint to Arrow and Flash, but really the moment that Robert Downey Jr. said, I am Iron Man at the end of Iron Man, that completely changed like the public's expectation of superhero media when it comes to the secret identity, right?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, Steve Rogers as well. Everybody knows it's Steve Rogers. I mean,
as Spider-Man, I think is, and I mean, if we flip it over to Marvel real quick, I mean, like, I think Spider-Man is the only... I think he's like the only like Avenger slash, you know, hero in that universe that people don't know his actual identity up until, well, I mean, you know,
well, yeah, because I mean, Homecoming. Yeah,
or not Homecoming, you know, but Far From Home. Yeah.
And after Winter Soldier, you know, the SHIELD data leak or whatever, everybody knew who Black Widow was.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that Bruce Banner is the Hulk. Or do they?
No, I'm not 100% on that one. But the thing is, man, I think when it all kind of comes down to it, You know, we have been, you and I and kind of current viewers have been just kind of trained to expect this reality that, you know, the secret identity is not that sacred, or at least not as sacred as it once was.
I mean, and certainly not to the Flash. He tells his enemies who he is.
Right. Well, not to the, you know, Earth Prime Flash. That's right. But here's the question, though, like kicking it back to Earth 90 it's difficult to kind of process with that lens, right? Like, why does Barry not want Julio to know he's the Flash? Like, what at this stage in the game would he really risk by Julio knowing that?
Yeah, and that's what's interesting, right? Because, like, you know, I have no idea, because it's not like they, like, you know, Barry works with him, sure, but, like, he doesn't work with the Flash. Like, even if he didn't know that Barry was the Flash, it's not like he's an unknown associate of the Flash. He's never seen with the Flash. So it wouldn't be like, I would understand it more if the Flash worked with Julio, like, on other things, or, like, they interacted at some point in time. So that, like, because a criminal might be like, oh, well, that Julio guy might have something to know about it. And so, like, he'd protect himself by not telling Julio who he is.
Right.
Or like, you know, protect Julio by not really, like, saying who he is. Because Julio could then, you know, he wouldn't have to lie and all that kind of stuff. So, it seems like it would make more sense to me, at least, if Julio actually worked with the Flash, but he doesn't. And so I really don't know why Barry is, I mean, hesitant to say anything. Maybe because he doesn't want the extra attention. Maybe because he doesn't think he can trust Julio with his secret. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm very curious. I'm very curious to kind of see where things go from here. I think you might be onto something with the villain. I mean, that of course is a trope as well, right? Like, the villain captures the friend or somebody who, and it's always the moment that person, like, finds out the secret identity, right? Like, the exact episode or issue that someone discovers that someone so-and-so is secretly a superhero, that's when the villain comes, like, you were there at the scene of the crime, you must know who he is, I will torture you with this blowtorch and you will tell me or you will die.
Yeah, it always seems to be the case.
That happened. I want to say that happened on Smallville, like, at least, like, I think literally every single time a hero a side character found out that Clark, you know, I mean, obviously they didn't know he was Superman because Superman wasn't Superman at that point. But in terms of, like, you know, just this realization,
then he was superpowered or whatever.
Yeah, that he was a freak or had superpowers or what have you. That was always the case. But anyway, regardless, man, I think it's it's, you know, we're getting there. I think we're getting closer. Julio's a smart dude. I mean, the way that he played it at the end was very much like, yeah, okay, okay. Like, I think he's almost, like, hurt that Barry's not willing to share yet, more so than he's convinced that Barry's not the Flash.
I could see that, yeah. Yeah, like, he's more upset that Barry just won't spill the beans than he is. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. That, like, you know, I'm sure that's probably going to come up in the conversation, right? It's like, why wouldn't you tell me this? And then Barry's going to say, oh, because of this reason or whatever. And maybe there'll be, like, a rift that develops between them. And then they have to, you know, consolidate that rift when Julio gets kidnapped, which is going to happen. As we just mentioned, it always happens. Right. So,
right. Exactly. We can almost, I think let's put some money on it right here and now, and then we'll see how it all plays out. But, all right, so Tina, this was kind of an interesting/odd one. Tina gets a job offer for to move to California. I don't know if you noticed this, but if you pause the episode long enough and really, really zoom in, you can see on the paper that she has the name of the job that she's going for, and it's Move Relationship Plot Along Incorporated. And it's actually a pretty nice position that they're putting her in, which is, you know, to really kind of ask Barry the question as to whether or not this is just a science thing or, like, a relationship thing. So, you know, I think all things considered, it seemed like a very promising career move. What are your thoughts on this this development of this California position for Tina?
Tina is a saint. She is so patient with Barry. And Barry is so clueless and has no idea what he wants. And it's almost infuriating at this point.
Hey, he's a man in the 90s, man. They don't, like, we you know, you remember being a man in the 90s. Well, I guess we were boys back then, but still, you didn't know what was going on. You didn't know how to express your feelings. No one told you how to express your feelings.
I mean, that's very true. So, yeah, but that's clearly what's going on here. And, like, you know, yes, Tina's a saint, and she deserves better than Barry. And Barry needs to, like, just... Maybe, you know, because what is it? I guess it's like a trope, you know, like dragging out these sort of like will they, won't they kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, clearly it was a trope in the 90s as well. And so, but it's just frustrating to watch sometimes. It's like, God, Barry, come on, pull your head out of your butt, man.
Get it together, man. Like, get it together.
You're going to all these like super fancy dinners. Like they're at a place where there's like senators and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I'm just going to take my friend out for a $500 meal.
Yeah. No, nobody's buying that, Barry. We know what's up. He knows what's up.
Yeah.
And like the thing is, and this is kind of weird, like he's acting a little bit like he's scared of commitment, but wasn't he the one that was trying to like settle down with Iris?
I mean, yeah. That's what's so weird about it. Right.
Yeah.
Like it makes no sense.
I don't know. It'd be very interesting to see how it all plays out. But I think it's safe to say we're still shipping Barry and Tina here. And it appears that they are getting closer to acknowledging that they're in a relationship. You know, it's not even like anything. I mean, they're already in the relationship, right? Like it's not.
Oh, yeah. They've been there. They like it's just that Barry doesn't realize it yet.
Right. Exactly.
They've been dating this whole season and Barry doesn't realize it yet.
This is true. And Iris is just off in off-screenville.
Yeah, she's in off Paris Screenville land.
Thinking that she's still in a relationship with Barry. She's not in a relationship.
No. They took a break, remember? They took a break.
Yeah, they were on a break. And I guess still are. But that's the question. Is being on a break a relationship or not? The 90s existed to try to answer this question, and I don't think it ever really landed. So, you know, I don't think we're going to get an answer in this show for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that we did get a chance to see is Barry using his powers in a very, you know, a practical way, especially with the forensic scientist, science nature of things, shaking up the old test tubes and fast searching the interwebs and all that kind of good stuff. It does make me kind of, you know, I don't know if pine's the right word, but I mean, like, it's one of the things that I think has been missing or missed the most from the current series, the modern series of The Flash, is people have wanted to see Barry actually utilizing those Flash powers in a little bit more of a forensic science kind of way, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, let's see, he does it once, like in the first scene, like the test tube, he does the test tube thing. That's like one of the first things that he does in the new series. And that's it.
I mean, yeah. I remember when he did that Sherlock thing that one time. I feel like I'm gonna say that up until like the final episode. Like it'll always be like, hey, remember when he did that Sherlock thing, that one time? That was cool.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Because that's the thing, is that the show's less about, I mean, when you save the world after the first season, you can't go back to doing CSI stuff.
There's a point to that. Okay, so yes, but Barry, and it was nice also to see that Tina is still running experiments on him, and that he is, you know, they are still kind of doing the science thing off to the side. It was also, you know, aside from the fact that it did move their relationship along, it did kind of give us a little bit of a window into that. Let's talk about this villain. So we've got the Angel, the Death Angel, the daughter of the cult leader, and she...
A Nazi douchebag.
Yeah. These kind of fascist groups hanging out and doing crazy things back in the 90s. So the daughter thereof, this dude, is out here killing all these people. What can one say about a fanatic's daughter?
I mean, look, man, she was practically not really orphaned. I mean, she still had her mom, but apparently she was really connected with her dad, and like he was a Nazi scumbag, and for some reason her mom did a really bad job being like, dude, this guy's bad. So she runs away, and I figured like having your dad be a cult leader, a neo-Nazi cult leader who killed police officers, might like disqualify you from military service, but I don't know.
You'd think. You definitely think. You know, it's interesting. Her, you know, once again, we have an episode without, you know, direct comic book correlations between any of these characters. However, with the constant references to her using plastique explosives, I thought maybe, and this is going to be a stretch, but maybe she's supposed to be like inspired by the comic book character Plastique.
I know she used a bow and arrow. She used a gun. She used plastic explosives and like a pressure plate. Now, she used all sorts of stuff.
I mean, she did. She did. But you don't, like, I don't know. You don't really hear like plastique used all that. Like, that's not a terminology, like a term that you hear all that much. Or at least
well,
I don't.
That's because it's called plastic explosives. Not well, I mean, I guess, you, yeah, you can call it plastique.
You call it plastique. That's what Barry said. It's a plastique.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the thing. I was like, oh, that's the name of a comic book character who kills people with explosives. Maybe this is plastique. And, you know, and no. She's
more like generic assassin lady.
But she's Angel, man. She's the angel of death. They didn't say that. Like, you know, it was kind of all implied, which I did actually appreciate the fact it wasn't as on the nose. But I mean, like, you could do that with regular comic book characters, too. And like, you don't have to go on the nose, but at least get, you know, at least make the connection.
I mean, Plastique was around back then, right? In the 90s?
Yeah, sure. Who wasn't? That Plastique just seems like a 90s character.
Yeah, I guess.
So yeah. No, she,
well, no,
you know,
they did call her the Angel of Death, though. Like, her on his execution, like, his last words were like, "I'm going to send an Angel of Death to."
Oh, that's right. I guess they never called her that to her face, but that's the.
Her name was Angel, yeah, and her father referred to her as an Angel of Death,
right?
And but yeah, that wasn't like her code name or anything. It was just Angel, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, she was a fine villainous. You know, tragic backstory. Gone crazy, killed a bunch of people. You know, once again, we get another car destroyed, people killed, right? In their prime, as they're falling in love or enjoying their love together. We get a lot of couples being killed off, man. It's sad. A lot of couples and cars.
Yeah.
This series has a problem with couples and cars.
Yeah, like I want to know what the car budget was for this show.
I think it was what if it was one of like these like same cars that just like crumpled? You know, it's like it's just a plastic car and then everything time something hits it, it just kind of implodes.
They just like pour compressed air in there and like blow out the dents.
Could be. They had some sort of deal. Like maybe it was like some sort of demolition dealership deal, and they filmed right outside of it and just wheeled in the next car and then like, you know, blew it up.
They just went to a rental place and just got insurance. They just returned this like crushed car and a blown up car. I was like, dude, we're not renting you guys again. this is crazy.
Wait, maybe this entire series was a money laundering scheme through into like car insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, you want to do the Flash, all these special effects. We don't have a budget for this. I got an idea there, James. I got it. It's going to be great. All right. We're going to make tons of money. We're going to blow up cars. You can't. You're going to blow up cars. We don't have a budget for that. Nah, James, listen to me. We're going to take out an insurance policy like you've never seen. It's going to be amazing. All right. And we're going to go around. We're going to get every single insurance company in the car in the entire country. We're going to put it all in one day, and then we're going to blow them all up. It's going to be great. We'll come out with a solid profit in about 5 seasons. And one of those things happened.
Yeah. We're in too deep now, so if you see an envelope on your car with a piece of metal that's like a quarter of a medallion, like just step away from the car.
just step away from it. Just step away from it.
Yeah.
That's great, man. So yes, of course, another car bites the dust, and we're introduced to Garfield, or as I like to call him, not Captain Singh. Garfield, who is you know, ready to settle down with the woman that drives him crazy, who gets shot through the back, through her chest, and still makes the wedding. How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah. She has her arm in a sling. Like, yeah, that was great. Yeah. Like, come on, can you not postpone that until she's better?
You would think, but no, man, she was a trooper. She's like, oh, what? I got shot in the back? Oh.
She's like comatose in the hospital for how long? And she's like, I'm making my wedding day. The one that I almost didn't want to get married, you know, right. Because the moments before I got shot, we got in a fight. And then we're like, yeah, whatever. We'll get married.
No, I thought they had a little cute romance. You know?
Yeah, it was pretty cute.
Yeah, everybody's relationship is different and that kind of thing. You know, it's it may not be my way, but, you know, that's one happy couple right there. I think
want someone to come home to and then get mad at. And she's like, so do I.
And thus, the greatest love story of our lifetime was born. Oh, the Garfields. So there you go. They fall in love. Everything is all peachy king. You know, we did get the classic revert, you know, the bait and switch of like, oh, look over there. And then the Flash kind of comes running through. Other than, I'm curious about this, man. Other than Julio, who else are you kind of hoping discovers that Barry is the Flash? Or is there anyone?
I don't know. Like, I was kind of hoping that the kid in the last episode, that Barry would, like, kind of give a wink and a nod to him.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, because that's the thing. Is like, the episode resolved with him trusting Barry anyway. And so it didn't really need that kind of wink. But, like, I thought it would have been kind of cool for, you know, he's like, you don't care for me. The Flash cares for me, blah, blah, blah. And then Barry's like, oh, you mean the Flash? Like, whoop. And he's like, I'm the Flash kind of thing. And he's like, oh, you're the Flash? And he's like, yeah, don't tell anybody. And then, of course, the kid goes away and we never see him again. But I don't know, like something like that to gain the, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, Tina knows. There's not really a plethora of characters that would work on, like, a, quote, Team Flash. Which,
yeah, that's really true, isn't it? I mean, I hadn't really kind of considered, but you're right. In fact, most of the space that's given in these episodes is really to kind of flesh out these one-and-done characters, which is kind of interesting, right? Like, we got a lot of time with Garfield this episode. Last episode, we got a lot of time with, goodness, not Nora, Joan, I believe. And, like, you know, we get, like, all of these, like, extensive backstories for these characters and everything else. And it's just, you know, you could almost add, it's the exact reverse. It's the reverse Flash Bell from the modern series, which has way too many characters that don't have enough space. I feel like they're overcorrecting in the modern era for the problem of the 90s series.
We can't make the same mistakes we did last time, see? We had too few characters, and we gave them only one episode apiece. This time, we'll have too many characters, and we'll give them 1/10 of an episode apiece. Yes, it's brilliant.
five minutes every single episode to extend the characters. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful.
Where's my cigar?
I mean, that is... I mean, like, no, but it is odd, isn't it? Like, that literally... I mean, like, I don't know that it's a flaw or a weakness of the 90s series, but it's just a reality. You only have a few characters. And honestly, I mean, those characters could easily be given more time. I mean, like, you know, Julio and Tina are really kind of the two, you know, main supporting characters. And, you know, while Julio actually had a really, you know, decent little arc here, Tina was like, hey, I'm moving to California. Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah.
And that was it. And so it's like, you know, like, Tina could have had some more space. We spent a lot of time with Garfield and setting up his relationship. It's just, it's interesting to me we do that. And that, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, no, but with Garfield, I think it's a little bit different just because he is a reoccurring character. We do see him a lot, you know, because he is the chief of police. And so I think he's less of an example than some of the other ones that we've seen over and over and over again. But at least we'll see Garfield in the future. Like, you know, Joan,
you say that,
I mean, yeah, he'll be there, but it'll be for a split second. This is the only amount of character development I feel that he will get the entire series.
Right. So that's the thing. Like, a lot of times in, you know, first seasons of shows, you end up getting, like, introduced to characters or plot lines that seem like a big deal in the first season and then never again. You know, one of the things that, and it's not even like, okay, so I'm going to make another Smallville reference here, but I feel
like another Smallville reference. From you? No. No one saw that coming.
You done, Bill? You done with that? Did you enjoy that?
I did. I did. Nope. And so did everyone else.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. No, in the first season of Smallville, man, we had there was a plot line revolving around Lex about a incident that occurred at a place called Club Zero. That essentially, like, all existed to set up, like, one episode, maybe, like, the sixth episode of the season, and then we never heard about Club Zero again. Like, ever. Like, we found out what actually happened. It was, like, this big deal that was haunting him for years, and then it, like, was like, oh, the reveal of what it is, and then it's like, okay, well, we're not going to talk about that ever again. It's never going to come up, even though it came up, like, all the time, every single episode up until then. And I feel like there's some characters like that that kind of exist in the background until you don't really kind of need them to exist anymore. Captain Sink. And and then they just kind of pop up from time to time. And, you know.
Captain yeah, Sink. No. I've made reference to it before because we've talked about this before, about the Brady kid who went upstairs and never came back down. And yeah, it's called Chuck Cunningham syndrome.
Well, so that's a little bit different though, right? Like that's like we can't figure out what to do with, like, we introduced this character in a ratings grab and now we can't figure out what to do with them. And that does happen. But I don't know what the Stan status of Garfield was back in the 90s. I'll be honest. I don't know if that was like he was like this character that like fans were clamoring for this major arc to occur, but I think it's a safe assumption that that's not the situation.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if there was any of the accessory characters who had probably any kind of like possibility for character arcs, it'd be the two kind of like goofball cops.
Yeah,
like the old cop Bert and the young Ernie. Cop. Yeah. I would see them getting some kind of like character arc or further development, because they're sort of like this comic relief sort of thing. Hmm. And I mean, I didn't see them at all in this episode. Maybe they were in the wedding, but they didn't have any lines. But yeah, I mean, just going back to what you said earlier, I think you're exactly right. This is exactly the opposite of the problem that we had in The Flash, is that there's two main characters and everyone else is accessory. Even Julio, it's Barry and Tina. And really, it's just Barry, because they don't seem to like develop Tina all that very much.
No, last episode, I feel like we didn't really get much of Tina.
Yeah, but like these one-shot characters, especially the villains, because every villain has been a one-shot character thus far, they get tons of development and like which I guess you need, if you're going to make, you know, a one-shot villain kind of work. But
it's kind of cool. I mean, like, I don't hate it. I can't really fully figure out, honestly, how I feel about it, to be perfectly honest. Like, it seems both inspired and also unnecessary.
Yeah, it seems like a poor substitute for developing your main characters. Because you get this like development of this villain, and you're like, oh, that's a cool villain. Then you realize you're never going to see them again because either they die or, you know, whatever. And then at the end of it, you know, there's sometimes there's character growth, like with Barry and his dad versus, you know, evil Cool Hand Luke. Bad guy, who I can't remember his name right now to save my life. But it kind of feels like there's something missing there, because like you would expect to see more from the main characters, right?
Yeah, but again, you know, just kind of the choices that were made for this series. Let me ask you this. This is kind of a, if you could choose, like, let's say you could go back and talk to James and the other guy, and you could tell them what they were, you know, what needed to be added. Like, if you were to add a character to this series, give Julio and Tina a little bit more space to develop, you know, and kind of be, you know, fully embodied characters, but then also add someone else into the mix. Let's say a comic book connected character. Who would you choose?
I mean, that's hard,
right?
Like, I feel like Cisco has done a really good job on the Flash, the modern Flash, but I feel like maybe, you know, because it's sort of a trope back in the day, you probably have like a kid Flash, I think, would be the direction that they would go.
I mean, that would make sense, actually. I was actually trying to think outside of the Flash's, like, you know, established comic, you know, family, but that makes that actually this series actually even more so than the modern one. Seems like it would fit a kid Flash a lot better.
Yeah.
Just because of the age of Barry in particular. And, you know, even with, you know, you almost wonder maybe that episode with the kid was kind of a test to see like, hey, would a kid Flash type of story work here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, it felt kind of kid Flashy, right? Like he's this punk kind of kid. He's got this snappy attitude. He played by a popular actor for the time. Definitely for the time. And, it could have been a test bed for like, do we bring on this kid and have Barry have some, you know, some kind of.
Oh, no. They wouldn't do that kid. They'd have to cast somebody else, right? Like, yeah, they'd need to be an actual Wally.
Oh, yeah, because his name wasn't Wally.
Oh, but that's the other thing, though. If they move Iris out of the series, you can't really do that without bringing Iris back.
They don't. They've made Iris a non-participant in the story. Like, I don't think that doesn't mean, oh, we can't bring in Wally West because Iris is her sister. It could just be like Jolly Guest, and that's his name, and he's not related. Yeah, like they clearly have no real convictions and ties to the comics here. I mean, it's kind of whatever they want to do.
I mean, that's fair. Jay is his brother as opposed to, you know, the classic.
Yeah. And his parents are alive.
Okay. I mean, like, you know, fair point. I don't know. You're right. I guess they could theoretically have brought back that kid to be the Kid Flash if they went in that direction.
Yeah, like he's poking around the lab and like accidentally hits the same, you know, chemical compound during a storm. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. No, that's good. I'd kind of like to see, like, of this era, maybe like the Atom would be kind of a cool character, because you have, you know, I think that would be kind of a fun thing. Not in the, you know, the current CW verse Atom version, but more of like a, you know, of like a scientist, who has kind of that nerd vibe and everything else. And I don't know. I think that might have been a cool character to add in here.
What about like Huntress or something, like a female character to have more tension between Barry and Tina, because, you know, we need that, right?
I feel like she's tied too close to Batman, but I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Well, they can't have Batman. Oh, yeah, because they couldn't have Batman on TV, but who knows what the contract said about Batman's accessory characters.
Right. So I don't know. It's an interesting thought. I did want to kind of pitch it to you, since we are talking about the, you know, the cast. Let us know, by the way, who do you think would have worked really well in this series? Ultimately, like who if you could go back and make one addition or a few additions to this 90s series, what character would you have put in? Let us know. We would love to hear that from you, man. Any kind of speculation as to what comes next? I mean, like, you know, if I had to put some money down, I think that we're looking at Julio discovering Barry's secret in the next 2 to 3 episodes. That's going to be my guess.
Yeah. I mean, so it depends, right? Because they like to drag out these things sometimes. And so this was one episode. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't 100% fully know 4 episodes down the line.
Really? Okay. All right.
I mean, yeah, it depends on what's coming up, right? Like, it depends on the episode, because if it's like if it's a filler episode, that's more opportunity for Julio to kind of, like, you know, be more in the forefront. But if it's a main villain episode, I just, you know, cause he's just never there. We never see him. And so I don't think that they would waste time that they develop. they wouldn't waste time developing a main character. So, because they have to develop the villain. And if it's a big villain episode, they have to develop the villain. So there's no time to build Julio's character and, you know, bring him into the fold as far as, like, quote, the team goes. So, yeah.
Okay. No, I like it. I think you're exactly right. I think it'll be the fun to see what happens next. Very hopeful, very excited. I know there's like a few episodes I'm really looking forward to down the line, and hopefully you will be enjoying it along with us. Y'all, we always love discussing this classic series and getting your thoughts on it. Want to put this out there to the listeners, though. For those of you who are watching this alongside us for the first time, let us know, because we've gotten some interesting feedback and thoughts from folks who were watching who watched the classic series back in the day. But I'm curious, do we have anybody that's actually watching this along with us? And, you know, as a new viewer, as a viewer in 2021, how are you receiving the show? What works for you? What doesn't work for you? I've been, you know, it's just been a very almost super pseudo surreal experience watching the show. And so I'm kind of curious if other folks are going through that as well. So let us know. Love to hear your thoughts on it. And we really always appreciate all of you for tuning in, hanging out with us every single week, talking a little Flash with you. Look, as I mentioned at the top of the show, yes, there is a new release date for the season 7 of the CW Flash. Whether or not that remains to be the case, we don't know. So just, you know, protect your expectations. That's the main thing I want to try to do for people. I have to do that for myself. I want y'all to do that as well. So grain of salt, enjoy your salt with your with your scheduling. And yeah, I think it's going to do it. Bell, any final thoughts on this episode or anything else before we sign off here?
Yeah, I think it was a fun episode. Like, again, you know, it may sound like we're kind of being negative with the character growth and things like that, but all in all, I've enjoyed every episode of this that I've seen. You know, it's a 90s show, so yeah, it's going to be a little dated compared to the stuff that we watch today, but it's still a whole lot of fun, and I'm really enjoying these episodes. And honestly, like, I'm just excited for the real comic book reference characters that we get, you know? Like, I do think it's neat that they're building up character, these villains that we'll never see again, because it does make them more interesting, and it does make them, you know, it makes the episode more interesting, and it makes you want to, like, keep watching, I guess. And so but I am looking forward to the time when we don't have to build up, you know, a character and then just immediately discard them.
Yeah. No, absolutely, man. Well, good deal. Well, I'm excited to see what happens next. But in the meantime, we want to encourage y'all to keep up with us. You can follow the show at Flash TV Talk on Twitter.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
You can also like the Facebook page at facebook.com/flashTVTalk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can hear the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/CharlieBach.
TVTalk.fm is the place to go for some Flashcraft, some TV Talk stuff, some podcasts, all the kind of great stuff. So check that out at TVTalk.fm. That's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.